Hello and welcome to pod 15 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grissom from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the Palace app and all the social medias. I'm recording this from a wet and windy training ground, although I am safely located inside an echoey interview room. But it was on another wet and windy day that a lot of this week's content was recorded, because early this week we were at Box Park Croydon for the Palace Box Park Takeover, where hundreds of fans got to meet first team players from the men's and ladies team. We also announced the winner of the Mamba X Player of the Month for November, as voted for by the fans. And that winner was Wayne Hennessy. We'll head to Box Park later to hear from the chairman, manager and players. But for now, here is Wayne Hennessy speaking to Premier League Productions.
Okay, Wayne, well, first of all, congratulations on what was a great performance from yourself at the weekend. Tell us a bit about how much that's done for you confidence-wise. It's another good display in what's been a good season for you so far.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic team performance. I thought everybody played well. Everybody made a good part of the game. And yeah, my back four were brilliant. Like I was saying, if they keep playing like that, hopefully I'll get a lot more clean sheets. And yeah, it'll be nice.
I know that you're saying it's a team effort, but looking at your performances this season, you've rightly come in for a lot of praise. I saw Ray Lewington say recently this week that he thinks one of the reasons might be the increased competition with Guaita coming in. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, competition's healthy. I always agree on that part. And if you can get it through the whole team, then yeah, it's a bonus. Obviously, people will step up. But for myself, yeah, it's nice, obviously, Guaita to come in and keeps me on my toes, and hopefully I can retain that number one shirt.
How is it that it does keep you on your toes? Do you sort of see each other in training? Is that the kind of thing that maybe plays on your mind subconsciously and gets you to up the ante?
Part and parcel as a player, you want to get as good as you can and like keep working hard. And yeah, I want to be Palace number one for a long time, and hopefully if I keep training hard and playing well in games, hopefully that will come through all the way.
And looking what Ray also said, that he feels that you've matured and he's seeing a different bloke now to when him and Roy first came into the club. What do you make of that?
I'm getting older. No, for him to say that, yeah, it's nice. And like I say, we've had Dean Kiley that came to the club as well. It was a massive help and a lot of experience on his side, and I'm learning from him.
And what's Dean been doing to help your game?
Yeah, well, different oppositions. And yeah, it's always nice to work with such a great talent. And for him, he's got so much experience and he reads the game very well, and he helps me all the way.
Looking at the technical aspect as well, another thing that Ray Lewington mentioned was that he felt that maybe you were a tiny bit hesitant when they first came in, and now you're commanding your area, you're coming for crosses, you're a lot more positive about your positional play. Do you go along with that?
Yeah, it's nice for people to say that, yeah, and take notice. And for Ray to say that, it means a lot, and hopefully I can keep continuing on working hard and obviously looking at him, and yeah, he'll be happy with it.
Was that something that you developed yourself? You decided to work on that particular aspect of your game, or was it something that came from some of the coaching staff?
Yeah, you have to look at every opposition weekly. Like saying, for a team like Arsenal, they don't really put it in the box that much. It's always cutbacks and short play. But yeah, for obviously teams like Burnley coming up now, they'll be a lot more direct and getting it wide and putting it in the box and crosses. So yeah, hopefully I can start working and come for crosses.
We know how important the fans are at every club, but especially Palace, I think. And how nice was it for you at the end of the game at Old Trafford to hear them singing your name so loudly?
Yeah, it's massive. What every player wants. And like I was saying, when I first come to Crystal Palace, they're really quiet with me. But like I was saying, hopefully I can turn their heads now and they praise me a lot. And hopefully I can keep working hard and repaying them.
How much does it mean to you that perhaps you've sort of not won them over, but do you know what I mean? If they weren't quite as sort of, you know, positive to start off with, now that they are, how much does that mean to you?
Oh, massively. Part and parcel of goalkeeping, you want to praise the fans, and like you're saying, you keep playing well and they praise you. So, but the fans are absolutely fantastic, and just that winning now at Selhurst Park and getting behind us, and yeah, so loud, it's amazing.
You've been doing your job brilliantly. At the other end, things haven't been going quite as well in terms of putting the ball in the back of the net. Can you put your finger on that? Because again, against Manchester United, there were chances.
Well, we've been playing really well. We've had chances, and at the moment, this is our luck at the moment. It's just not going in. So hopefully it will turn really quickly now and start getting some luck and scoring some goals.
Is it a concern for the team at the moment, that the lack of goals? Is it something that, that is causing a little bit of anxiety at all?
No, not really. I'm saying in training and all that, everyone's looking sharp, and there's a lot of goals in training. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic at the moment. Just hopefully it can work on a Saturday, and like I was saying, hopefully against Burnley we can score.
Everyone always says Selhurst Park is a difficult place to go to, but looking at the stats this season, it actually hasn't been that difficult for the opposition to go to. Why do you think that it's not been the fortress that you've been used to it being?
Like I was saying, if you watched our games, you'd realise we're creating chances. It's just that final, that little touch or that little aspect where you think, oh, just that little bit of luck and it would have gone in. So at the moment, we're hoping our luck changes, but teams are coming to Selhurst Park, making it very difficult for us, but we're definitely creating chances and scoring opportunities.
Looking at the league table at the moment, a good point against Manchester United, there was positivity, but other results mean that actually you've slipped a little bit closer to the bottom three. How much of a concern is the current position?
I never really look at the table. I always try and take it game by game, and like saying, you want to try and create as much points as you can, and for a goalkeeper, try and get as many clean sheets as you can. So, like I said, we just take it game by game. Personally, I do anyway, and hopefully get next game now against Burnley. Hopefully we'll get 3 points on a clean sheet.
Do you feel that you're in a bit of a false position, that performances warrant better than what you've got so far?
I keep saying about luck, because I actually agree with it. You look at our stats and everything, especially the last four games, we played really, really well. Obviously it's against better opposition, but like you're saying, if we keep maintaining that, things will definitely change for us.
How much confidence can you take from those games that you mentioned against some of the big boys? You're playing, every game's difficult in the Premier League, but obviously you're playing a team that are around you, just below you on goal difference after playing some of the top sides. So on paper, this is less of a tough challenge, at least.
Yeah, these games are exciting. Obviously, teams, like I said, they're going to be in and around you, so we need to take points off them. I just can't wait for Saturday now against Burnley. Hopefully, be 3 points on a clean sheet.
Big game, isn't it? Because, you know, even at this stage of the season, you know, I don't want to use the term six-pointer, but when they're only below you on goal difference and you're only above the relegation zone on goal difference, it's a big, big occasion.
Yeah, it's tight. That's what the Premier League's all about. And like I was saying, hopefully we can start creeping up that table really quickly. And like I was saying, it's one of them where when teams are in and around you, it makes it more interesting. And yeah, we can't wait.
And what do you expect from Burnley? Because, you know, on paper, people will look at the physical side of the game, which might mean that you'll need to continue that positivity in coming for crosses.
Yeah, and the whole team is such positive in that dressing room. And like you're saying, Burnley are a team that they'll get it wide, put it in crosses, make it very physical for you. So, yeah, we're preparing that this week and getting ready for it.
Bit of a surprise to see where they are in the table, given how well they did last season.
Every season's different. Like you're saying, I'm not sure what happened with them, why they're down there, why they're in around the position they are. But like I said, we just try and focus on ourselves and get things right.
Just looking at fantasy football situation this season, just wondered, amongst the Palace squad, how often does fantasy football get mentioned? You know, if one of you's had a blinding performance, for example?
Not very much. Saying there's a few people on fantasy football, and I am personally, yeah, but yeah, not really much, but like saying, it's mainly like who's got captain who this or vice captain that. So yeah.
And if you were going to recommend any players to put in a fantasy Premier League side, who would you recommend out of the Palace squad?
Out of the Palace squad, Wilfred Zaha, 100%, fantastic talent, and it's only a matter of time before Will starts getting some goals.
And just finally, you picked up 10 Premier League points against Manchester United, so I think there's a fair chance that people should be picking you, cell-picking Wayne Hennessy in the fantasy team.
That's nice to know. Obviously, I wouldn't pick myself. If the lads knew I picked myself, they'd give me some stick. But no, it's nice to know that I had 10 points, and yeah, hopefully I can keep getting in around that figure.
Top man, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Wayne Robert Hennessy there. As I mentioned earlier, he was at Box Park Croydon earlier this week to collect his award and meet the fans. And it was on stage there that I spoke to Chairman Steve Parrish and Manager Roy Hodgson.
Please welcome onto the Box Park Croydon stage your Chairman Steve Parrish and Manager Roy Hodgson. Roy, welcome.
How are you? Good?
Yeah, I'm good. You're singing songs. So, Steve, here we are back at Box Park again. It's the third time now. It's becoming a bit of a second home for Palace, isn't it?
Absolutely, and well done to everyone for getting here, for the weather is terrible out there, so congratulations.
Now, last time you were here, you revealed a little teaser that there was going to be an announcement about the stadium. I know lots of work's gone on behind the scenes since then. Have you got any update at all?
Yeah, it's a little bit slow going. We've got a few things to iron out with the council, a few things to iron out with other people on the land, but it's going okay. Announcement soon, hopefully.
And what else at the club has been keeping you busy?
We've got a big announcement to make on the academy, so that will be equal to the one we made last year on the stadium, I think. So that should be coming next week.
And at the weekend, enjoy your trip up to Manchester.
I didn't make Manchester.
Did you not?
No, I was. Unfortunately, I was laid up. I was really bad, so I didn't make it. But very, very pleased with the result. Very proud of the team and the performance they put in. Very resilient, and I think we all felt a little bit disappointed not to get 3 points.
Yeah, Roy, players have been training today. Everyone been buoyant after that draw at the weekend?
Yes, they certainly were, yeah. But first of all, I'd like to echo what the chairman said. Great to see so many people here. Thanks a lot for coming out this evening. It's not the best of nights. We've been a bit unlucky in that respect, but it's very good to see so many of our fans coming here, and I hope you'll enjoy meeting the players and getting some autographs from them. But as far as the weekend's concerned, yeah, we were very happy. I thought the team played well. In fact, I think we've been playing quite well in many of the games recently. You know, our football has been very positive. We've just been unfortunate that we haven't got the points that we think we deserve, but we hope to put that right starting on Saturday with your help.
Yeah, hopefully. And we had some of the fans come up on stage earlier. They played a computer game on here, and they did Crystal Palace against Brighton.
Right.
And the final result, I think, was it Crystal Palace 2, Brighton 0. That was the final score. That'd be nice next week, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'd be very happy with that. Any result which gets us 3 points will be a good result, and it's an important game, isn't it? It's a game that means a lot to everybody at the club and certainly to you fans, so the players are very well aware of that. We know now we have a period of games coming up where we can take points if we continue to play as well as we've been playing. So it's up to us now to get those goals and to make certain that we keep the clean sheets that we've been keeping quite often this season.
And how are the fixtures for you this season at Christmas? Is it busier than usual, or is there quite a nice spread of a gap between the games?
No, I think it's fine. I've got to be honest with you. I tend to look at one game at a time. I don't really have the crystal ball approach. I work on the basis that let's prepare hard for the next game, and then we'll start to worry about the one after that when it's finished. But the Christmas period is always an exciting time, I think, and we're lucky this time we play at home on Boxing Day, so that's good. It means that we can train on Christmas morning and at least have a bit of time with our families in the afternoon.
Now, Steve, you mentioned a big announcement on the academy coming up. We're in Croydon. There's a player from Croydon that everyone's talking about at the moment, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. How proud have you been to watch the way he's taken to Premier League football?
Of course, for all of us, I think everybody connected with the club. We love a local player, don't we, in the team? And we're lucky enough to have two. So what Aaron's achieved and under the manager and the coaches has been sensational. So it's exciting to watch. I saw a little clip of him going around Martial on Saturday, which is a wonderful moment of skill from him. So it's fantastic. But he knows he's got to carry on working hard. And he knows what's important is that he helps the team as much as he can as we look to try and pull away from the bottom of the table.
Cool. Yeah, and Roy, finally, talking about that, we've got the run of fixtures coming up. It's been a tough November. You're really confident now that the team's in a good place to kick on and move up the table?
Yeah, I have great belief in the players. I think we have a good squad. I think we have some good players. As long as we can avoid serious injury, I really believe that over the rest of the season, we'll get the points we need. It's unfortunate that we have as few points as we've got at the moment, so I think we deserve a lot more from the way the team has played. But if we keep playing the same way and keep working hard, I know the results will come. And we're fortunate at Crystal Palace to have you guys coming every week to watch us play. We always play in front of a full house And we always play in front of an enthusiastic crowd and a supportive crowd. And not all teams can say that. So thank you for your support. Keep it going. Keep with us. And lead us on to the points we need so that we can have yet another Premier League season. Thanks very much, everybody.
Fantastic stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Roy Hodgson and Steve Parish. Apologies if I was shouting a bit there. I get overexcited when there's a crowd in. And speaking of overexcited, here is the most excited man in the stats world because he is back on the pod. It's Statman. Statman. Yes, that's right. He's back and he's excited. I am in the Vice President's Lounge, where we've done one of these before, I think, with Statman. Statman, where have you been?
Where have I been? Well, that's a great question. Maybe you could answer that, you know?
Well, you swanned off to LA, and then while you're away, I couldn't replace you.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd experiment with a post-match podcast.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as good.
No. So you cut me, obviously, for one game, then we went into another game. Listener figures never been higher, I'm told. You cut Statman.
Well, you weren't there, was a novelty of a new type of podcast. So you listens went up, then they went back down. Okay. But it might be result dependent.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. So it's nothing to do with that. But after those two games, there have been a few more, haven't there?
There have. I wasn't involved last week. I was off.
Yeah.
I was moving house.
So I've been told Man United, they didn't want me on. Because the stats weren't good enough.
Yeah, I heard that today, actually. I asked today, I said, what happened with Statman? Why didn't they do it last week? Oh, they weren't good stats. I thought, well, that hasn't stopped us before.
It hasn't. We've had some horrible chats in the past, haven't we? Man United, though, we had nothing. I had a look at them and I thought, I can't put a positive spin on this.
Well, yeah, because we'd already done the Brighty video of him looking back on that win, which I actually did 4 years ago as well. So we're still clinging on to that. But we have now got a point.
Now we got a point. Should have had all three, shouldn't we? Thoughts?
Yeah. I didn't watch it at home because you cannot access...
Good. You respect laws in England to not stream games.
Yeah, so I didn't watch it.
Illegally.
But yeah, apparently we deserved a win.
And you watched the highlights on Eagles?
Of course, yeah.
Good man.
.cpfc.co.uk.
Good man. Good man. Would you like some stats, by the way?
I'd love them. I'm absolutely...
You're bursting. You've been waiting a month for this.
Yeah, it's been a stat famine.
Yeah. Well, let's feed you. So, number one.
You know that's going on the teaser on...
That'll be it, won't it? Yeah. You choose one bit.
We've done feed you before. Call me... what did you call me before?
Do you want me to say something? Do you want us to have like an argument and then you're putting this on?
Yeah.
And then
let's stage it. Sorry, let's get to the stats.
Yeah, let's not waffle. Right, so straight to the stats. I'm going to start with a hugely ominous one. And do you know what? It's stats like this where I realise why you don't have me on this show. But I'm going to say it anyway. Okay. So Crystal Palace, unfortunately now, have failed to win their opening six home Premier League matches. Now, this is for the third time we've done this. The other two times, we got relegated.
Yeah, we're not getting relegated this season.
No, okay.
It's not happening.
We've got a recording of that now, so that's good. That's a horrible stat. I've got that out of the way. We'll move on. But let's remain on slightly negative ones. And that is that our record against Burnley isn't great at the moment. We've lost 3 of 4 games against Burnley. Positive on that, though, is that we did win our most recent meeting at Selhurst Park, the 1-0 game.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, very good.
Who scored?
Bakary Saka.
Good man. Yeah, very good. Yeah, took it well. Might have been his last goal for us, I think.
Oh.
He was in a great run of form, though, at the time.
He was, and then he broke his ankle.
And something else. Yeah. He did double, didn't
he? Against West Ham.
Ligaments and break, yeah.
There's some work going on in the background, so there's...
Always improvements. Yeah,
always improvements. Here in the corporate area... The premium area of Crystal Palace.
Thank you. Right terminology. So let's go on to the next one, which is that... it's Hodgson, actually. He's let us down here with this stat. He doesn't fare well when he comes up against other English managers. So he's only won one of his last 10 Premier League games against English managers. What is that? Are you frowning
at me? I
don't know
what that means.
It just means, you know, he doesn't like coming against a fellow Englishman. He likes the foreign tactics. He'll take that on. But English, when it's England against England, he struggled to break that down.
It's interesting. Mm. Maybe we should do a study on it.
Yeah, well, leave that one with me.
I'll come back to me.
That one, yeah. And let's go for positive ones now. So, in league competitions now, Burnley have won just one of their last 12 away matches. So that is fairly positive.
That's good news. They've not
been good on the road. And they've lost their last three away in London. And they've conceded at least 4 goals in every match.
That's terrible.
It's a terrible record. Do you think that will continue?
Yes.
Yeah,
good. Yeah, I think we're looking good.
We're banging 4 in.
Yeah, good. Everyone's happy. Yeah. Everyone's confident, yeah.
I'll come to your prediction at the end. Because I know you. I want to educate you first on stats.
Okay.
And then you completely throw them out the window and go with whatever prediction you were going to make anyway.
Okay.
So we'll carry on that
trend. And then you do your clever one.
And then I do my clever one.
Which is wrong.
Which, yeah, it's still been wrong, but none of us have got it correct. No. Yes. And last one. So Burnley haven't won any of the last 21 away top flight matches in December. So I got slated for this one last time when it was in a month. But they haven't won any of their 21 away top flight matches in December. So they've never won an away top flight match in December. I've just completely put the mockers on, I'm sure.
I wonder why that would be. Start the season strong and then enthusiasm goes.
Maybe never had a big squad and by then, you're eating into it. Injuries, getting cold.
Burnley's very cold in December.
It is. This is purely speculation.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible weather, isn't it, on Saturday? You don't do weather stats.
We're putting fans off here, aren't we?
Yeah.
I don't think we should. When does this go out? The Friday before the game?
Yeah.
It's going to be lovely, isn't it? Who are we to predict the weather?
I did see a message, actually, somewhere. People can bring small umbrellas in.
Okay.
But they have to leave large umbrellas at the information point. You can't bring large umbrellas in. You can only bring small ones.
Your information warning.
Yeah.
By Chris Grierson.
I hope I'm right. Otherwise, we're getting in trouble. I'm getting in trouble.
It's very specific.
Yeah, so. I read it on an email this morning.
Good. Well, I'd like to think you're correct. Let me go with two what to watch out fors as well.
Ooh.
I say this. Do you remember I said Newcastle got to watch their subs? They score all the goals.
Yep. It worked, didn't it?
Ended goalless. Yeah, so they didn't.
Oh,
but they brought on loads
of
subs and not one of them scored.
Okay.
Which is good. Positive. So the ones to watch out for, that is, we've got to get through the opening 20 minutes. We've got to get through the opening 20 minutes. Because of Burnley's 8 Premier League goals against us, 6 of them, 6 out of those 8 have come in the first 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Conceded early. A lot.
There was the away game where there was Chungy with his...
with his back pass.
Questionable back pass.
Yeah.
Which was very early. And then before that was the game where we lost, I think it was 3-2.
Yes.
Away, and they got a couple of early goals.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, we had Mandanda in goal.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He gloved... came off his glove, he came out and it went in.
I was going to say, he somehow managed to put that one in, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I got abuse from some Burnley fan kids at the end of that game.
Mate, I think we need a full story on this, right from the start.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
Every little detail, please.
I think I was stood, it was after the game,
yeah,
and I'd come out of the tunnel and I was stood there and some kids went, "Hey," and I'm going to do, "Hey mate, hey mate," but in a kid's voice, Hey mate. That's mate.
Yeah.
And I walked towards them kind of smiling, thinking they're going to ask me a question or say something nice, and then they just stuck their fingers up at me and went, "Ha ha," and then ran off.
Has it stayed with you?
Yeah, I'm really upset.
Yeah. How did that make you feel at the time?
I haven't been back since.
No, rightly so. Written a letter of complaint to the Premier League?
Yes. Submitted a thing on the burn. No, I haven't.
No, okay. No, okay.
I'd forgotten about it until now.
Will you be going back later in the year? Grierson's
I think I might do it.
Repudate? Yeah, okay. Okay, good. Okay. Well, hopefully you put that one right. The other thing to watch out for then is headed goals. And that man, Sam Vokes, only Harry Kane and Alvaro Morata have scored more headed goals since last season than him. He's scored 5 with his head. So watch out. I'd say watch out for corners, especially in the first 20 minutes.
Okay.
That's my, you know, good. My so word warning to Hodgson and his
keep
boys.
Keep it tight, first 20.
Let me move on, though, to a very, very interesting one before I get your prediction. Okay.
Okay.
You're looking at my printout. I've got it hopelessly wrong. I've printed out 15 pages.
Yeah, what have you done?
I'm so sorry.
Out the whole website?
I'm
literally,
so
Statman has a printout of the club website.
Every page ever created. It's worrying that it only comes to 15, though, still. However, right, let's go for it. So this one, actually a recommendation, I've got to give a shout out first. Matt Franks from the marketing team found this statistic. He knows I love stats. So shout out for him, because I think this one is fantastic. You're reading it. Wish you hadn't.
No, I haven't read it.
Okay, good. You haven't read it. Right. Who do you think, and let me give the question first, has committed the least fouls since the start of the 16-17 season? And the criteria for this, they've got to be an outfield player, and they've got to play at least 3,000 minutes of Premier League football.
See, do you know what? I said I didn't read it. I didn't read that. All I read was one name
on
the piece of paper, and I thought, so, no, I'll pretend that I haven't read it.
Oh, great. Yeah. And will we edit this bit out?
Yeah, we'll keep it all in, because I'm off tomorrow, so there's no time to edit.
Okay. Who would you have guessed? No, go on, guess.
No, I would have guessed who the least fouls played 3,000 minutes.
Yeah.
I would say someone like... Oh, no, Aaron wouldn't have played that many minutes, would he?
No.
Someone like Wolf. I would say
this
probably hasn't.
This is in the Premier League. So you choose Wolf over all Premier League players? He does get, you know.
Oh, you mean all Premier League players?
All the Premier League.
All Premier League players. So who has made the least fouls?
Least fouls. Outfield player that plays regularly, so 3,000 minutes of football, from the 16-17 season onwards.
Wow.
That's really got you thinking, this.
A striker that is quite small, you'd guess. Like someone who doesn't commit fouls. Someone like Aguero.
Yeah.
That's what I'd guess.
Yeah,
go on, who is it?
Not there, but a Man City player is there. Okay.
Okay.
So in third place is Charlie Daniels of Bournemouth.
One of many Bournemouth players who, if you showed me a photo of them, I wouldn't know who it was.
Did he score against us? I can't remember now. No, I don't think he did. No, but he,
I don't know. Someone with short back and sides.
Bournemouth player scored. Yeah, it's irrelevant now. So he's committed 21 fouls.
Okay.
In that time. Second place, your Man City player.
Yeah.
He's a defender.
Really?
He's an England hero.
Stones.
John Stones only committed 17 fouls. And number one, and does this shock you though? Because I know you've read the name now, but I want an honest, you know, surprised look. Mamadou Sakho.
That is incredible.
Reads the game. Well, it's either one or two things. So he's only committed seven fouls. Seven fouls. Watch him. Watch
That's
him on
insane.
Saturday. So I've watched him.
Where's that from? Is that an article on the website?
This is again from Matt Franks. Just got to put that one out there, marketing team, and it's come from.
Oh, it's not the Palace website.
Can't find the source, mate.
Oh, we should put that on there.
Can't find the source.
Okay, you know, that's brilliant. Link. What a stat.
But so yeah, only seven fouls since the 16-17 season. So what does that tell you? Either he's reading the game like a champion of France international centre-back, or he's not getting stuck in.
Obviously, I'm going to go for the former.
Yes, good man.
Well, that's a fantastic stat to end on. I think we've gone, 12 and a half minutes of stat, man.
Hey!
Welcome back.
Will you have me back after that?
We'll think about it. No, I'm free next week.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, see you there.
Thank you.
That was refreshing. Okay, so back to Box Park, and after a busy afternoon throwing free footballs and frisbees into the crowd, I pass the mic on to Alex Howell during the signing session to chat to Wilfried Zaha, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and Palace Ladies defender Jordan Butler.
Wilf, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
How good is it to come out and see the fans at an event like this?
It's always amazing. It's always nice to see the fans, obviously. When we're at the games, they give us incredible support, so it's nice to come down and actually get to interact with them.
And you're a local lad from Croydon. Have you come and eaten in Box Park before?
A few times. It's nice to actually have Box Park in Croydon as well.
Any restaurants you'd recommend?
Well, not off the top of my head. I can't really remember right now, Keith.
Okay, that's cool. And we had a big performance at Old Trafford on Saturday. How pleased were you with the point and the performance the team put in?
I was very pleased with the performance because obviously we played with no fear, and it's like it's not easy to go to Old Trafford and get a draw, and I feel like we should have won, but I'll take a point.
And finally, big game Saturday. Good to get back in front of the fans at Selhurst.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I feel like we need to repay the fans for a win, so hopefully we can do that on Saturday.
Cheers, Rolf. So, Aaron, how good is it to be out in your local area of Croydon to meet the fans?
Pardon? Obviously, it's grateful to meet the fans, you know, as I grew up here. And obviously, they've been supporting us throughout the whole season, so it's good to visit them.
At Old Trafford on Saturday, you got a big point, and everyone's sharing your clip of you taking it around Martial. How happy are you to come away with a point and a performance like that?
You know, it was good to come away with the point, you know, as the team played well. You know, I've seen the clip a few times as well, and I'm quite happy with it.
And I asked Wilf, have you been here before as well? Box Park, where would you recommend to eat?
I'd say, what's it called? Breakfast Club.
Perfect. And Saturday, Burnley at home. Good to get back in front of the crowd, isn't it? The home crowd.
Yeah, of course. You know, I think our confidence is up after the United game. So I think there'll be points to take away from that game.
And we've got the decorations up here. When do you think it's okay to put the decorations on? You got them up at your place yet?
Pardon?
The Christmas decorations. Have you got them up in your house yet?
No, not yet. But hopefully soon.
Thanks, Aaron. Jordan, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, thank you.
How good is it to come to an event like this at Box Park, see all the fans, thank them for coming to support you?
No, it's a great opportunity for us to come down and obviously see all the Palace fans. It'd be great to have some of you come along to our games as well, but yeah, so it's a great opportunity for us, so yeah.
And you're sat here alongside the first team and came along to your training session in the gym. How good is it to be really part of the family? It's Crystal Palace family, isn't it, from top to bottom?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a great club to be involved with. Obviously, it's a massive family-orientated club, and that's something that us as women players like to feel a part of. And obviously, like you said, using the gym on the Monday nights and being invited along to stuff like this is a great opportunity for us. So, yeah, we're grateful for it.
And we're here. The Christmas decorations are up. When do you think it's acceptable to put the decorations up? Are they up in your place?
Not yet, unfortunately. But I think the earlier the better, right? Get in the Christmas spirit.
Everyone else in the Christmas spirit? And you played against Charlton on Sunday. A big game, playing against former players. And you grabbed another goal, didn't you?
Might have done. Second in the season, not too bad.
You're in good form and you've got another big game at home on Sunday. So who are you playing? And tell the fans why they should come and support you.
We've got a massive game against Aston Villa. They're just above us in the table. Definitely need to get 3 points on the board, and obviously then sets us up to Christmas period and coming back on the other side with Millwall. So definitely come down if you're free. Sunday, 2 o'clock at Bromley Town. It'd be great to have as many of you down as possible.
Thank you, Jordan.
So yes, do get down to see Palace Ladies this weekend, and also away to Brighton on Wednesday night. Head to cpfc.co.uk/ladies for more info. So that's all from Box Park, and in classic Palace pod style, we finish with Roy's weekly press conference. Speak next week.
That's it. Yeah, you too.
Could you give us any updates on injuries, particularly long term as well, if there are any updates?
Well, we don't have any other than the one to Christian, which everyone knows about. He's making very good progress, as I said last time I was here, so we're happy with that, but he's the one that cannot be considered for tomorrow's game, but fortunately everyone else can be considered.
What's the latest with Scott Dan and Conor Wickham?
They're okay, they're training, they've both been training all week. They also are making good strides. Of course, they've both been out of top-class competitive football for a long period of time due to their injuries, but you know, Connor has been back certainly. I think it might be his first full week, but he also did something the week before. And the same with Scott Dan; he's been actually doing training with us now for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So happy with both of them.
Now you've said in recent weeks that you're happy with the way the team are playing, but perhaps you're not getting the results that you deserve. Is it a case of perhaps fine-tuning the details rather than any major overhaul needed to improve your season?
What I've tried to say basically is that the actual performances the team has given, I think, have been perfectly satisfactory. I think that we've played some good football, and in all of the games we've played recently, despite playing against, you know, top-class opposition, we've been in the game. We've had our chances even to win the games. So that's all I've said about not getting what you deserve bothers me. I don't like talking about, you know, not getting what you deserve, because unfortunately that has no part to play in football. You know, you get what you get. But what you do hope is that if you give good performances and those performances give you a chance of winning games, that you will win some, because you're going to be satisfied with the way the team has performed, both with the ball and without the ball. So I suppose that's what I've tried to say. But we do need points, like a lot of teams around us at the bottom need points, because it's very tight around the bottom there, and the relegation zone is threatening quite a few of us. So, of course, the most important thing, and we're all fully aware of, is to get those results. The only thing is, can you guarantee results without playing good football and playing well? That's always the big question. You can do sometimes. You can be very lucky and see your team play badly and sneak a win, just as you can actually play quite well and be very happy with a performance and not win. But as far as we're concerned, we realise now that we've come through a tough run of four games against the top teams in the land, and we've now got to try and make certain that with other teams who are closer to us in the table, we've got to start taking points.
You've said that you believe in this group of players, or a good group of players. Do you feel as though the players themselves believe that they are able to move themselves up the table?
Absolutely, yes. They've shown they can do it as well. They did it in similar circumstances, even slightly more difficult circumstances last year. I think since that time, they have steadily worked at their game and steadily improved their game, so I don't see any lack of confidence in them, or any lack of belief or faith in the fact that, you know, we will climb the table. But of course, to do that, we do need points, and to get points, you need to win matches. So we can't ever get away from that side of things, and no one ever tries to. But there's no lack of confidence. I have a lot of confidence in them, and I would be very surprised if they didn't have quite a lot of confidence in themselves, because they've seen how well they can do in recent games.
Particularly in the match against United, to go there and get a point at Old Trafford, do you think that was a big boost for the players?
I think it followed on from two very good performances against Arsenal and Tottenham before that, where again, at the end of the game, we thought that the quality of our play was more than good enough to get us a result in the game. It was nice to carry that on to Old Trafford, which is a particularly difficult place to go and get points. The previous two matches where we came off the field quite satisfied with our performance were at least home matches.
Wayne Hennessy, the goalkeeper, was brilliant against Manchester United, made some crucial saves. How important do you feel he will be to the team's success this season, and give us a little bit about his form in the last few matches?
Well, I think his form hasn't just been the last few matches. I think it was form that he showed, you know, certainly from January through to the end of the season last year, when we had a relatively good spell and pulled ourselves away from what many people thought was absolutely certain relegation to a place almost in the top 10 of the Premier League. He was an important figure in that period of time, and I think he's just carried on. He's very pleased to be doing so well with us. He's pleased to be doing well with Wales as well. He's very proud of playing for his country. And it's nice to see that he's getting recognition, because I think sometimes he's gone under the radar a bit, because we haven't played so many games where we've been the team, you know, fighting for our lives and having lots of balls in our penalty area and him having to make lots of saves. Quite often the saves he's had to make have been sporadic, and they've come sometimes on counter-attacks when we've maybe had the better of the play. And I think that's the hardest thing for goalkeepers. I think sometimes goalkeepers who are getting lots and lots of shots to deal with, lots and lots of crosses, you know, always in the game, we notice them sometimes more than we notice the goalkeeper who hasn't had a lot of saves to make. But certainly the ones they do have to make, those type of goalkeepers, are crucial. And I think that in the game against Man United, his most important contribution was towards the end of the game, when Manchester United had Lukaku and Fellaini on the field and they were playing longer balls into our penalty area. I thought his ability to deal with those crosses and to support the defence in that way was absolutely the best things he did in the game. And we're going to need him to do that in lots of games going forward.
At the other end, goals have been somewhat hard to come by for Crystal Palace so far this season. Do you feel as though you might need to add to your firepower in the recent, in the up-and-coming transfer window?
I think it would depend an awful lot on what happens with players returning from injury. You know, Wickham, if he continues like he's doing at the moment, will be an option. Christian Benteke, we don't think is, you know, months away. It's more a question of weeks away for Christian. So it could be that we'll have a lot more options up front than we've had. But also, to be fair, Jordan Ayew hasn't done badly at all. He's played well in the games. Alex Earlth is coming back into some sort of form. So at least this year, there are bodies and there are people who are competing for those places. This time last year, when we were desperate to do something in the January transfer window, we really had an enormous shortage of front players. That's no longer the case, but it's important, of course, for those guys who are at the front of our attack and the ones who will be getting the goal chances when we create them. It's important that they do start to convert those chances into goals, because the facts are there starkly in front of us, and those facts tell me we aren't scoring enough goals. I believe that's not because we aren't creating any goal chances, it is because we haven't been as good in front of goal as we would all like.
What's the case when you're at home, having only scored just the two goals, both of which were penalties at home? Do you feel there's a particular problem that Crystal Palace suffer from at home that they don't suffer from on the road?
No. No, it's nothing to do with that at all. We've had our chances at home. We've created more goal chances at home than away. So of the chances that, you know, could so easily have been goals that we've missed, most of them have come at home, or equally as many, if not more. So that's not a factor. The penalties came as a result of some very, very good attacking play, where maybe goals would have been scored had a penalty not been given. So I don't dismiss the fact that the goals were only penalties, because penalties often come about through very good attacking play, and certainly our two goals against the Arsenal came that way. We aren't conceding that many goals and we aren't scoring that many goals. We need to score more, there's no question of that, and we need to keep making sure we don't concede, and that's what we work on all the time. That's what the players are very conscious of, and with the great home support we get and the enormous encouragement and support and faith and belief as well that the Palace fans have in their club and in their team, I will always believe that home games give us a great opportunity to win matches.
Looking ahead to a busy, very busy for Crystal Palace, a festive period, are you happy that you have enough strength in depth, I guess, squad rotation, to contend with so many games in such a short period?
Yes, I mean, we've been lucky, as you asked at the start of our interview, that, you know, we don't have that many injuries at the moment, and, you know, an important player like Benteke, even he is coming back, and it's not impossible that he wouldn't be available for us in that period of time. So as long as we don't pick up a lot of injuries in the next couple of games, so that in a week's time when I do an interview here, suddenly everything's changed and we've got a lot of players on the injury list, then I do believe we've got enough players to see us through. Certainly as many players and as much strength in depth as the teams around us. If you ask if we've got as much strength in depth as Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal and Tottenham, I would probably have to say no. But then which teams in our part of the table have that?
Just one other question, final. Yeah. Talking about Burnley, one of the worst defensive records in the league. Is that an area that you feel like you can exploit on
well, it's a surprising fact, because I don't associate that with Burnley. I mean, they had a wonderful season last year, got themselves into Europe as well, and everyone talks about maybe that having affected their start, and that could very well be the case. And, you know, Sean Dyche would be the one to talk about that. But I think they are an organised and strong defensive team and strong defensive unit. So I would put the fact that this particular year or season, or at this particular moment in the season, the facts tell me they're conceding a lot of goals. I would put that down to the haphazard nature of football. I wouldn't put it down to the fact that they are a weak team in terms of their defending, or a very vulnerable team in terms of their defending. I would put it down to the as I say, the nature of football, which throws up these facts, but they don't necessarily have anything to do with what the team's doing. I would put our lack of goals and their conceding too many goals pretty much in the same pot. That, yep, as managers, Deitch and I can't defend that. You know, if you've let in a lot of goals, you've let them in. And if you've not scored enough goals, you haven't scored enough. But as a manager, you have to go a bit beyond that and work on the basis, is this some pivotal problem that we have in our club that is in some way got to be resolved, or is the way we play, is the way we work, are the players we have at our disposal good enough to change this? And in another part of the season, you know, we could quite easily, I think, when we play Burnley away, I could be facing the same sort of interview, maybe not from yourself, but from someone in the northwest, saying to me, well, Burnley have got an enormously strong defence. They've only let in 4 goals in the last 8 games. How are you going to breach their defence? That's how easily I think things could change. Thanks a lot.
Roy, you mentioned you think Wayne Hennessy's underappreciated. Do you think Sean Dyche is underappreciated as a manager? Are you surprised that he hasn't been considered for vacancies at bigger clubs?
I don't know if he's been considered for vacancies at bigger clubs or not. I don't think he's underestimated or undervalued. I would have said almost the opposite. I would have thought last year he was a contender for manager of the year amongst my contemporaries at the LMA. He seemed to be getting an awful lot of good things said about him in the mass media, so I don't understand why I'm being asked to comment on him being undervalued or underestimated. I think he's a very valued and a very highly estimated Premier League manager doing an excellent job at his club. And whether there are other clubs who want him, I don't know necessarily that one should even go down that line. You know, is getting an offer from a so-called bigger club the only mark, if you like, of your value as a manager and coach? Maybe, you know, he's quite happy to be as highly valued as he is at Burnley, as highly respected as he is in the League Managers Association and amongst his colleagues, and to know he's doing a wonderful job, that might be enough for him. You'd have to ask him.
So you've had appointments at, like, Liverpool, for example. Would you caution Sean against taking the first big club that comes along?
No, I wouldn't. I would never caution anybody to do anything. And, of course, by the time I went to Liverpool, I'd also had quite an important 2 spells at Inter, which is a big club too, and that's sometimes forgotten because it's not English. But I would never caution anybody against that type of thing. I believe that the managers who get elevated to positions whereby they're likely to receive those offers, they know perfectly well what they want from life and what they think is, you know, a good thing or not such a good thing to do. And I don't think other people's experiences should have any part to play. And I would never dream of offering advice, 1. And 2, I would be very surprised if somebody like Sean Dyche, if he was considering an offer from somewhere else, would feel it necessary to consult with anybody. I'm sure he'll know his own mind.
Okay, thank you.
Afternoon, Roy. You mentioned you've played the top 4 in the last set of games, and now you're going to play teams around you like West Ham, Leicester, Cardiff, and Burnley, of course. You're probably going to the game as favourites tomorrow. So what's the mindset? What do you tell the players? Because they've been going into these big games under enormous pressure, and now tomorrow they're favourites.
I would tell them, if I felt the need to tell them anything in those terms, that this is what it is to be in the Premier League. You know, you're going to play 38 times, and you're going to play 19 other teams home and away. And each time you play those teams, there will be a different set of circumstances prevailing, and people in the mass media will be telling you you're favourites and should win, or they'll be telling you you're chanceless because the other team you're playing are too good. I would think, really, that I'd be very disappointed if the players I'm working with here now, all of whom have got some experience, didn't understand that and weren't fully conscious of that. And the one thing I do try and do and I'm sure most managers do, is not to try and insult the player's intelligence by telling them things which are blatantly obvious. I think personally that in the Premier League, you know, who's favourite, who's not favourite, is always a very, very debatable subject. We don't go into the game thinking this is a game we're favourites, this is one we are almost bound to win. We go into it knowing this is a game where a chance to win exists if we play as well as we could play, and we've got to do our absolute utmost to get those points and to get that win. And the only thing I have said to the players, and I think I said it to them via a press conference after Manchester United, when people were being very kind from the TV, the radio and the press, and saying, your team played well, we were impressed by your play, and now you've got an easy run of fixtures because you've had a hard run of fixtures. I actually said that if the players believe that, then we are in massive trouble. And I've said that to them subsequently. I've repeated it just in case they didn't read or see my interviews. And if they haven't read or seen my interviews, I don't blame them either, I've got to be honest. I wouldn't watch them, so I don't blame them for not doing it.
If you take a look at Burnley, they've compared to last season, where they had such a fantastic season, and if it almost mirrors what Crystal Palace did at the end of the season, they've now gone six without a win. Is it important, or how important is it for a team to evolve after they've had a good season like that? Because if they play the next year and try and play it the same way, they get caught out, don't they?
I don't know. I would think if you're referring specifically to Burnley, my guess is, and I haven't seen or read anything, but imagining what Sean Dyche is probably saying in answer to that type of question or semi-accusation is, it's been very different for us this year because, you know, last year we had one game a week with the odd midweek game, and this year we had to start so early, we had to play in qualification rounds of the UEFA. For a club like Burnley with a relatively limited squad of players, we found it very hard, and it's impacted badly on our start to the season, but now it's settling down, we will soon get back to where we were. I would imagine that's what he's saying, but quite frankly, I haven't seen or read anything that he's said, so I'm not trying to put words in his mouth either.